So glad you decided to worship with us here at Crystal River Church of God Online, where we want you to find focus for living. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel for video messages. Now, an inspiring message from our lead pastor, Ronnie Reed.
I want to talk to you tonight about delight in the Lord. What a subject, right? You're struggling a little bit with some sadness, but then I want to preach to you on the subject of delight in the Lord. Because how many knows that if you don't delight in the Lord, man, this world and life sometimes can just get you down. Amen. But how many knows that we don't serve God just because of what He gives us. We serve God because of who He is. We serve God that He is our paraclete. The Holy Ghost comes along beside us. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians 10, that nothing has taken you that is not common to man. But with every temptation, the Holy Ghost is with you. So whatever trouble you might be facing, and that's something Sister Hazel has forgot more Bible than I'll ever know. But one of the things I tried to reiterate is, even though you're hurting, I know that God is right here. And how many knows, though, when that's happening, that's not really what you want to hear. You know, you don't want to, you know. Yeah. It's tough, man. Sometimes as a pastor, you don't have the words. You don't have the words. And when a woman of faith like that looks at you and says, "Tell me it ain't true. Tell me they got the wrong guy." And it's tough. But here's what I know, that God is with her. God is with us. God is with the worlds. Whatever you're going through, God is with you in the midst of what you're going through. Amen? See, there's a lot of folks who... go with me to the book of Psalms is where we're going to go. Psalms chapter 37. And the Bible talks about delighting in the Lord, but it begins in that verse or in that chapter saying, "Fret not." Come on, somebody. It said, "Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers, for they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb." But verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Now, can I be very transparent? And usually I am anyway. But I don't mind trusting in the Lord. But there are times when I'm going through stuff, I don't want to do good. I want to lash out. I want to say things to people that God don't want me to say. I want the spirit of slap to come on me and an anointing to anoint some folks with a brick. And I just want to, slap them in the name of Jesus. I know y'all don't ever get that way. But he said, trust in the Lord. But that's easy. But then he says, do well. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I mean, I kind of want to preach right there. Because how many knows that faithfulness doesn't just come naturally? You got to cultivate it. You got to cultivate faithfulness. That means that you got to do something to help it grow. That means that there are sometimes, if you want your plants at home to grow, you got to go out and prune them when you don't feel like pruning them. That means that you got to put mulch down when you don't want to put mulch down. It means that you got to work at faithfulness. You got to work at it. Cultivate faithfulness. And then the next verse says, in verse 5, it says, "Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it." Now, what is it? Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. Trust in the Lord, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Here it is again. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his ways, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Verse 8, cease from anger, and forsake wrath, and here it is again, do not fret. It leads only to evil doing. Wow. Not don't fret because it's not good for you. No, don't fret because it leads to evil doing. Well, what can a little fretting do? Well, according to the Bible, it can lead to evil doing. Because if you begin to fret, oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. I got to get back to, because I'm going to talk about fret. But I want to talk to you today about, tonight, about delighting in the Lord. Thank you, musicians. Many people say that I don't have personal time with God on a daily basis because I don't have time for personal time with God on a daily basis. Now, yet, and here's where the rub comes. People say, I don't have time for personal relationship or personal time with God on a daily basis, and my life seems okay. I mean, that's a pretty well statement, because sometimes, you know, you look at other people and you go, well, Lord, look at Gypsy. He's doing good, and, you know, he doesn't spend as much time with God as I do. Maybe I need to just, you know, find out how much time he's spending with the Lord and do that. Anybody ever thought that? Don't raise your hand. It's a trick question. Not about Gypsy, just about anybody. That, you know, maybe I'm spending a little too much time with the Lord. But, you know, I know Christ, I follow him, I'm forgiven, and I do well. I do well at work, I do well in school, I do well in blah, blah, blah. But that may be true, but consider these questions. What will happen to you that is not happening to you now, and things are going good, but what would happen to you if you began to have personal time with God? You know, everybody tells the story, not everybody, but a lot of people tells the story about coming to Christ. And y'all know my story. You know, man, I tell you, I hit rock bottom. And man, we thinking, I could pass the mic, and there are stories here right now about I hit rock bottom. I didn't know what I was going to do. And, you know, and I had a Damascus Road experience, and Jesus shined the light on me. And I was, just transformed. And then God moved in my life. And now today I'm saved. And we love those testimonies. That's not mine. My testimony was I had everything going my way, had my life planned out. I had money. I had success. I had girls that back then. I was only 18. But I had all. Wait a minute, Pastor. You said you had success. You're 18. You didn't know grits was groceries. No, man. I was making more money than I'd ever made in my life. I made more money than my daddy made. I was on my way. Everything going right. But there was still just one thing that was missing. And how many knows that I didn't know it was missing until, here's the rub, until I came into the presence of God. See, some people don't like to come to church because when they get into the presence of God, it shows them what's missing out of their life. I remember there was a little girl that when I was a youth pastor, and she came to one of our services. She goes, I don't like coming to the service because you made me cry. And then I know people who go, Pastor, I don't know. When I come to church, I don't feel good. When you get through preaching, I just like cry. I go, well, if you would get it right, then you would feel good after you gave it to Jesus, right? But that's the difference, man, is when you come into the presence of God. It's like being poor. You didn't know you were poor until somebody told you you were poor. Because everybody around you was poor, like if you lived like I did. So I didn't even know I was poor until somebody told me I was poor. Oh, I'm poor? Oh, well, I need to do something about that. Right? And it's the same thing with God. So I wasn't one of those tragic stories. I was just one of those stories. I didn't know, and God set me up because I was coming down to go to vacation and stopped by my sister and her husband and went to church with them and met Sherry. And a week later, I went to church again, and it was in that church service where the Holy Spirit began to deal with me. And I'll go one step further. It wasn't not when my sister was singing. it was before my brother-in-law began to preach, but it was when I sat down at the piano and began to sing a song unto God, and the presence of God began to hover over me, and I realized that what I was missing in my life, that a relationship wasn't going to do it, more money wasn't going to do it, fame wasn't going to do it. What I needed was Jesus Christ in my life, so that when I laid my head on my pillow that night, that if Jesus were to call me home, that I know where I would be. I've come by to tell you, I am so sorry and so saddened that David Jones passed away this afternoon, but I've come by to tell you, I need to tell you that in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. You are not guaranteed the rest of the night. He was headed to pick up his mama, had to pull off the side of the road, and had a massive heart attack there, is what we believe, and passed away there, never making it to his destination. Delight in the Lord. What could you be missing out on? We know that a disciple is he who delights himself or herself in the Lord. And the problem in the church is that we have made too many decisions for Christ without becoming a disciple of Christ. Pastor, how do I know if I'm a disciple of Christ? You're a disciple of Christ if you are being discipled. The root word of disciple is discipline. If you are being a disciple of Christ if you are doing the things that Christ did. Good preaching, Pastor. Well, how can we answer that question? Allow David to answer that question from the book of Psalms. David was a man who was busier than all of us. He was one of the most powerful nations of the world at that time. He knew what it was like to be 24/7 slammed. Yet he always took time for worshiping God and for prayer. I'm telling you, I tell people I'm busier than a one-armed paper hanger. No offense to any one-armed paper hangers, but I am busy. I stay busy all the time. It seemed like I can't pay attention until I've got something else coming on my desk, or another appointment, or something other, or I'm preparing for another message, I'm preparing for another presentation. Something, it just seemed like I don't ever get to go and breathe for a little while. However, I still know, here's what I know, that if I don't spend my time with God, then I am going to become crusty, I'm going to become dissatisfied, I'm going to become mean if I don't spend that time with God. He that delights himself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. But we must delight ourselves in him. Hey. Yet always David took time for prayer. He took time for worship. And he shows us why spending time with God is personal, private worship and prayer must be a priority in life. Let me just tell you. Well, Pastor, I drive 30 minutes and I spend that whole time with Jesus. Jesus and 34 other million people on the road. And I hope you're paying attention, because somebody else might be meeting Jesus and they're not ready. Come on. But God promises in the book of Psalms, he shows us why spending time with God is so crucial, because God promises four things to those who take time for private worship and private prayer. Are you ready? Number one, I do apologize. I did not have time, I don't think, to get this message on YouVersion. I'll try to put it on there after service, but I did not have time. But number one is this: spending time with God causes me to reflect God's character. Now, Pastor, that is so elementary. I did not come all the way here just to hear you speak elementary. Oh, listen to me. If we could just get the elementary fundamentals of what God's Word says, we would be so much better off. If we could just if you would do what you already know, you would be better off. Oh, that's good preaching right there. Spending time with God causes me to reflect the character of God. Psalms 34, delight yourself, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Now, it's obvious that people can't delight themselves in someone or something that they do not know. How can you delight yourself in something you don't know anything about? How do I get to know about it? Well, I come to church and I listen to pastor. I hope you do more than that. I hope you listen, but I hope you read the Bible yourself. I hope you spend time with God. And I gave this challenge many years ago, and I was criticized for giving the challenge. Because the challenge was simple. Spend 3 uninterrupted private time minutes with God. And I was, that's nothing. Oh, thank you, Miss Religious. It's nothing for you who is retired. And your kids are grown. And all you do is sit around and read and pray for everybody else who ain't as spiritual as you. Why are you looking up there in case you think I'm looking at you? Amen. But try it. Uninterrupted. You know, I'm not talking about just Bible reading, but whatever, man. I mean, first thing in the morning, I do my Bible reading. I heard something that impacted me just, and I haven't always done this, and I can't say I do it every day now, but I try to. I heard one minister say, and he's an older minister, and it wasn't Brother Cash, but anyway, he said this. He said, before I put a morsel of food in my body, I put a morsel of food in my spirit. I'm like, I like that. I like that. So sometimes I read the Bible fast because I'm hungry. All right, really? Come on, somebody. So to delight means to take pleasure in. Delight yourself in the Lord. And can I tell you that some people don't enjoy Jesus? To delight means take pleasure. Do you take pleasure in God? I do. I mean, I'm here tonight. I'm the pastor, and I'm here tonight, and, you know, I was scheduled to preach, you know, and Josh was really praying that I would make it here, him and Justin, you know. I told him, I said, you guys are going to start, and I'll be on. And they was like, ooh, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord Jesus, let him come here, because, God, I just ain't ready. I know to be instant in season and out, but I thought he was going to preach in just a moment ago. And I said, anyway, so, but to take pleasure in means that you enjoy it. You know, don't point at nobody, but there are people who don't take pleasure in their marriage. Now let's just be real, right? This is Wednesday night real talk. This is Wednesday night when we do life application teaching. I can tell you, I've been married 33 years, but not all 33 years have been pleasurable. No, I tell everybody we've been married 30 happy years. About 3 years collectively. You know, you take a month over here, a day over here, a couple of hours over there. It might be more than 3. I don't know. I never tried to sit down and figure it up. And if you sitting down figuring it up, man, you have already messed up. So, but I do know that I take pleasure. You know, if you're not enjoying your salvation in Jesus and God, then you're doing it wrong. Because God wants you to delight yourself in him. Take pleasure in him. God doesn't say delight yourself in your marriage or in your spouse or in your work or in your school, in your money, in your house, or even in your family. He says delight yourself in me. Delight yourself in the Lord. There is no more important relationship in your life than your relationship with God. Now, and I'm really hesitant to say this because I don't know anybody like this, but I used to know somebody like this. But when I say that God is more important than any relationship in your family, that doesn't mean you neglect your family because of God. See, there's got to be that balance there. You cannot neglect God on your family. Well, that's why we don't come to church on Wednesday night, because we got to have family night. Baby, there's 6 other nights. You know, family night ought to be a night, or Wednesday night ought to be a night when you bring your children and say, here's what we do. Learn about Jesus. I'm putting priority on Jesus. Because what you put priority on, your kids will put priority on. You know, my kids never... It's a shame. I hear kids all the time. Are we going to church? Are we going to church? My children never ask, are. My children always go, hey, when you leaving? I want to ride to church with you. I want to get there early. Now, why? Well, because they're the pastor's kids and they get special privileges. No, they don't. The only privilege they get is getting to come into my office. And some of y'all do that. You just got to schedule it. They don't have to. So, they get to use my personal bathroom. But anyway, and no, y'all can't. Amen. Why is mine? Amen. Nothing should take priority over that. And here's why. The better relationship you have with God, the better relationships you will have with others. Man, if you can't, I mean, think about it. You can't get along with God. You're going to struggle in society. If you can't get along with God, you're going to struggle in society. It's true that the more you spend with someone, the more you become like them. That's scary, isn't it? The more you spend with God, the more you become like God. You know, so you can't tell me people who spend a lot of time with God and you're mean. I don't know who you're spending time with, but it ain't God. Right? I mean, I know people who log how long they pray and because it's religious to them. Well, I prayed 2 hours today. You needed to make it 3 because you still mean. I prayed 4 hours. Okay, but can you live right? Hey. You begin to take on his character and start thinking like he thinks. You know, if you listen to the ministers that are part of our church, you listen to them come up here and preach, you will hear some of me in them. Because they spend enough time in. They don't like it, but this still happens. Pastor Steve snuck in the back door, you know, traitor. But anyway, I didn't mean Pastor Steve. I meant Pastor Benedict. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. We're excited for him. But I went online and I listened to him preach at First Assembly because I was really hoping he would do horrible. And no, I'm just kidding. But and he did. And those of you who don't know, he did get the vote. They're the new pastors over there. But he's going to stay with us. And yeah, go ahead, give him a hand. Amen. Well, I can't believe how happy they are you're leaving. Wow. That worked out a little bit better than I anticipated. I'm just kidding. But I went online and listened to the message that he preached, and I heard some Ronnie-isms. Okay, hey. And then I saw some things he did wrong. I went, hey, that's like me. Yeah. No, I didn't really see anything. But what I'm saying is the fact that he... You know, you can't spend as much time as he and I have spent together without picking up some things, right? Because, you know, I don't know if you noticed it, but earlier tonight, I put my hand in my pocket and I was doing a Steve, you know, hallelujah, glory to, you know, hallelujah. Doing the old stretch, you know, the old prance. Okay. So anyway, you know, pretty soon I'm going to catch myself doing a Justin. Hey, he won't do it anymore, but you watch him. And when he turns this way, his mic comes down. But if he turns this way, his mic goes up. So he'll be talking like this, glory to God, and over here he'll be sounding like this. Isn't that the truth? Anybody notice that? Hey, the sound man's got both hands up. Yes, he's killing me. Amen. So, but you spend time with those because the disciple, and you know, and please understand, I'm not their, But they've been around me long enough, and they've been, God has placed them in our life and under us and are under me. And so there's some things they pick up, and I've tried to pick up some things from them. And so we'll see how that goes. But the more time you spend with God, the more like Him you become. And the more like God you become, the more favorable people will respond to the God who lives in you. You know, I cringe when, and there's a couple of people, I could name a couple of them that I'm thinking of right now. They're not here tonight, thank God. But they would say things like this: well, you know, they hated Jesus, that's why they hate me. No, it's not. They hate you because you're a jerk. They hate you because you're mean. Amen. And you know, but they try to get spiritual. Because can I tell you this? People who don't know Jesus, they don't dislike Jesus. They just dislike religious. They dislike religion. And so that's why we've got to make sure that we spend enough time with God that we're not religious, but we have a relationship with God, and the character of God reigns inside of us, and it puts people at ease that they want what you got. Hallelujah. You know, here's what I had to ask the Lord this one day, almost 20-something years ago. I was in the first house I moved into, Crystal River. I was really in Homosassa on Goodman Lane, and I was there. And the Lord spoke to me one day in my prayer time, and He said, if there wasn't any Bible, and the only thing that you had was what you know of the Bible right now, and if somebody who didn't know Jesus came to you and said, how do I get to heaven? Could you say, just follow me and do what I do? And I went, wow. If you want to know how to get to heaven, just follow me. I'm not talking about just on Sunday. Just follow me. And I'm going to tell you right now, it caused me to reevaluate my walk with God. It caused me to reevaluate my relationship, and because I want the character of God, you know, and I understand, and some people can't take me because I'm pretty transparent. But here's what I realize: that if I am just who I am in the pulpit, then I can be who I am in Walmart or whatever, and wherever you see me, I don't have to worry about who I was when you saw me. Because I am who I am. I am what I am. Come on to my Popeye. So you begin to take on His character. The more you become like Him, the more favorable people will look at you because of the God that lives in you. That is why it's so vitally important to spend time with God. The more time I spend with God, the more God changes me. Well, I don't need any changing. Oh. The more God changes me for the better chance I have to change others for the better. You know, let me say this. Quit trying to change everybody. You be the change. And when they see, you know, when everybody starts losing weight, you know what I'm saying? People start losing weight, they ain't got to advertise. You're like, girl, what you doing? Oh, private message me about that. How much is it? You know, you start looking, hey, you know. You see somebody bald, start growing hair. Hey, bro. What's that secret? What magic potion you using? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it works. You know, the wrinkles start coming out of your head, and you're like, hey, what Botox are you using? I mean, talk to me, man. You're looking good, right? I mean, you don't have to advertise when people see the change. You don't have to beat people over the head when people see the change. You just get around them, and by being in your presence, it begins to change them. Come on, somebody. So that's why it's so vitally important. The more God changes me for the better chance I have to change others for the better. Merv Griffin, years ago on his talk show, he invited Charlton Heston, and unless you're probably 40, you don't know who that is, but he's the greatest actor ever walked on the planet, and his greatest role was Moses. However, the show, for those of you Bible scholars, the Ten Commandments that Charlton Heston was in was biblically incorrect. So after I realized it was incorrect, I never watched it again. Y'all just wear me out. People pray and ask God, I just wish they had good movies. And then you won't go see it because it was biblically incorrect. Yeah. It's crazy. Don't raise your hand. How many went to see the Noah's Ark? That was so off the wall, but it was a good flick. Yeah, it wasn't biblical. But I bet you went home and read your Bible to make sure it was. Anyway, so Merv Griffin asked Charlton Heston, said, you've played lots of religious characters in your life, time of filming. What character did you play that really changed your outlook spiritually? He replied, Charlton Heston replied, definitely Moses. Griffin asked, why did Moses so radically change your spiritual outlook? And I love his response. Here's what he said. You can't walk barefoot on Mount Sinai for 40 days alone with God and be the same person when you come back. But see, what we want to do is we want to make our prayer closet a place of weird. You ever seen, like, you know, man, I like that meme. Christians, you know, has these little kitty cats. Christians going into their prayer closets. And then they got lions coming out of the prayer closet. But, you know, that's the way we look and that's the way some of us feel, you know. We come out of the prayer closet, my God, I've been with God. I wish the devil would raise his stinking head. I'm looking for a fight, by God. You ought to be that way every day, man. Right? You begin to reflect his character. This is why a disciple looks like his or her master. Point number two, spending time with God allows me to receive God's blessing. It's very important to note that in Psalms 37:4, that delight comes before desire. If you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desire of your heart. We want him to give us the desire of our heart, and then we would delight ourselves in him, right? But that's not how it works. You have to delight before you get the desire. Here's the key. When you delight yourself in the Lord, your desire will be his desire. You begin to take on his attributes. When you desire is his desire, then he will give you your desire because it's really his desire. Did you catch that? When you delight yourself in him, you take on his desire, so he gives you your desire because actually your desire becomes his desire. So you're really just doing what he desired for you to do anyway. Hallelujah. I have learned that when you put God first, you really put yourself first. Because some of us don't really know what will make us happy, but God does. And if you put him first, then you're really putting yourself first, because if you put him first, you delight yourself in him, then your desires become his desire, his desires become yours, and yours becomes his, and the next thing you know, he's giving you the desires of your heart. I mean, come on. There ain't a person who's ever gotten married who said, man, I'm going to give this a try for 6 months. Well, there might have been a couple of idiots. I'm going to give this a try for 6 months. No. But if you put it his desire, it helps you. There are three types of desires can be identified. I'm not going to preach on them. I'm just going to hit them. Selfish desires. Those are pretty easy to identify. Selfish desire, what I want. Well, Pastor, I'm not sure what I want. Well, listen to your own prayer life. Lord, I need you to. Lord, I want you to. Lord, I want. Because those things that we want when we want them. Because if God would ask me, I could tell him how to do a few things. Now, they probably wouldn't turn out well, but, everybody has an opinion. Like armpits, everybody's got them. Most of them stink. We often get them, and here's what happens. When we get our selfish desires and it doesn't work out and we get bad, then we want to blame God for it. Lord, give me that spouse. Lord, give me that spouse. Lord, I just claim that person. I claim them in the name of Jesus. And then you got, Lord, why did you give me that person? They're nothing like what I wanted. Amen. And then, of course, you got satanic desires. Those are pretty easy to recognize. You know, oh, I believe the Lord. Oh, the Holy Ghost just checked me. Thank you, Lord. I think the Lord wants me to do this. Yeah, right, whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, never mind. Let me move on. And then you got sanctified desires. I can't believe I listened to the Holy Spirit. Can you? Yeah. On that. God will not listen to selfish desires and satanic desires, but he listens to sanctified desires. And what's sanctified? Sanctified, for those of you who are not versed in Christianese, sanctified means set apart. It means holy. The sanctified desire, your holy desire that comes from the Lord. You know, God says, when your number one desire is my number one desire, then I will give it to you. Every day you should go to the Lord. You know, there's a guy who says he does this. You know, wakes up every morning. What would make Jane Cash happy today? What could I do? Remember when Brother Cash said that? But man, I'm telling you, if you would do that with God, Lord, what can I do today to please you? And not get stupid with it. And Lord, what would you want me to do today? Lord, do you want me to do the dishes? Or true story, one lady, Lord, would you like me to pray? I'm like, you're already praying, stupid. If you talk to God, you're praying. You know, what's God going to go? No, don't pray to me today. I'm a little busy. I've used up all my words. But if we were to go to God and ask, what is it that you want from me today, God? And I do it. I don't do it every day. I wish I did. But, you know, days that I can remember, I do it. You know, Lord, what do you want from me today? Usually, I pray, God, help me get done today what I need to get done. Instead of, Lord, what do you want me to get done today? Now, please hear me. Don't leave here going, well, I'm not doing a to-do list no more because I want the Holy Spirit to bring it. And I just want to open up my iPhone and on my to-do list, it'll be there. It ain't. If it is, your spouse probably put it there. When you want what God wants, God would always give you more than you want. Did you hear that? When you want what God wants, God will always give you more than what you want. In 1 Kings 3, God did the same unique thing to Solomon's life. Remember that? When God approached Solomon in a dream, said, what do you want? And he goes, I want wisdom. Hey, I'm asking for wisdom. And God gave him more than what he asked for. He gave him for fame, fortune, everything else that he could have asked for. But he said, no, what I really want is wisdom. And he gave him more than what he wanted. So it would be unwise and unsafe for him to give you your desires if you do not delight in him. Can you imagine giving your 3-year-old whatever you want? What you want to eat today? Ice cream. What would you like for breakfast? Cookies. How about for lunch? How about some more ice cream? I mean, you know it's unhealthy. But that's the way we would do. If God gave us everything, we would be spoiled. We're already spoiled. We would be spoiled brats. God doesn't want that in our life. Those who delight in him will get what he wants because your desires become his. Number 3, spending time with God moves me to rely on God's power. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him and he shall bring it to pass. The word commit means to roll over, to take the burden. You can't carry and roll it over to someone else. To commit your ways that I'm going to take the struggle that I can't carry and I'm going to roll it over to the shoulders of God because I can't take it. Matter of fact, Sister Hazel Jones relayed a similar situation to us tonight, that as she lost her first child, She said, I just couldn't get over it. She said, one day I went and got on my knees before God, and I said, God, I can't take it. And she said, within the next 2 days, God took it. She said, I can't take it. God, I got to have some relief. I just can't take it. And God took it. You know, so if you commit your way to the Lord, every part of your way, of your life, right? If you take your job, your finances, your emotion, your relationship, whatever it is, He will take care of it. Commit. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And what is the it? He will do whatever is best for you. I would rather have God decide what is best for me than what I think is best for me. Because I have limited information. And wrong decisions are made based on wrong information. Wrong decisions are made based on assumptions, based on what you think. But when somebody knows, right? I mean, you know, I always, because most of y'all know I am the most unmechanical person there is probably in this church. And from time to time, if I have car trouble, Jim usually helps me out, or Justin, somebody that knows a little bit more about cars than me will tell me, you know, basically what's wrong with it, and I'll take it to Jim and pay him to work on my car and whatever, because I want to keep it in the family. And so he'll go, well, Pastor, what do you think? What's wrong with it? He's only asked me that about two or three times when I first started taking it to him. Pastor, what do you think is wrong with it? Well, I believe it's the flux capacitor myself. Those of you who don't know, that's from Back to the Future. I said, I believe it's the flux capacitor. He goes, well, I don't think this model has one of those. I said, all right, I'm out of suggestions. That's my go-to answer, flux capacitor. Pastor, I think this thing has a flat. Well, I think the flat has a flux capacitor on it. You know, so I don't want to go, you know, I don't want to go to somebody, hey, what do you think is wrong with my car? Well, I have no idea, but let's just give it a whirl. It's like the little boy. I love this little story. Little boy was late coming home from school. And he said, little Johnny, where you been? He said, well, Mama, Mark's bike broke down as we were riding our bicycles home. And he said, well, baby, you don't know anything about how to fix a bike. He goes, I know, but I could help Mark cry. That's kind of the way I feel sometimes. And so roll it over is put it on somebody else's shoulders, right? Here, so what is the it? Here's the question. In every part of your life, give it all to God. God is not concerned about what you can bring to pass in your life, what you can bring to pass. God only cares about what He can bring to pass in your life. Here's the principle. The things that God wants you to do for Him are the things that only He can do through you. The things that God wants to do or wants you to do for Him are the things that only He can do through you. I mean, He'll get it done, but not the way He'll use you to get it done. Does that make sense to you? You know, well, God will get somebody else to do it. He will, but why? Why do you want to? He wants to do something different because there's a sect of people that I can't reach. You know, when I was looking at getting a motorcycle and I was getting all these suggestions, you know, and I thought, well, you know, I'm gonna get me a Kawasaki or something like that. And then so Jim Hajak says, Pastor. Now, if you want to minister to real bikers don't ride hot Kawasaki's.
Thank you, sir.
Don't get Popeye started. He's already, they don't wear white sneakers either. A bunch of yuppies. Shorts? No, not a biker. I'm not a biker either. Don't tell him. But anyway, but you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, Jim said, if you really want to minister to the bikers, Pastor, you need to get a Harley. I said, well, are the rest of the bikers going to help me pay for the Harley? Now one of them helped me pay for it. Anyway, let me move on. I have no idea where I'm at. Okay, now I remember. All right. The boiling point of water is what? 212 degrees Fahrenheit. However, 211 degrees Fahrenheit is just hot water. degrees is hot water, but it's not boiling water. Just 1 degree can make the difference. Think about that. 211 degrees will not cause the water to become a bubbling cauldron of tremendous power. 211 degrees would just be a lot of hot water, but 212 degrees of boiling water creating steam can cause a locomotive to go down the tracks. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of pounds can be moved because of the steam off of 212, but 211 is just hot water. The result is one tiny degree. Now, here's a little piece of information for you that the human body can detect 2 degrees. That if you want to get a little cooler, you got to hit 2 degrees cooler than what it is for your body to detect it. So we must understand that without God and prayer, we will always be a degree short of accomplishing what He wants us to accomplish. The greatest thing you can do with your plans, your jobs, your hopes, your school, your life, is to commit them to the Lord, roll it over onto Him, and walk away from it. And doing so, it will take things to that one magical degree to make it have power. The central problem of our generation is that the world looks upon us and sees that we are trying to do the Lord's work in the power of the flesh, instead of the power of God. Now, we're Pentecostal, and let me just say, the power of God is not always shaking and baking somebody. All right? I mean, listen, the last Wednesday I was here, we laid hands on everybody. People fall out all over the place. I love that. The shout, jump, buck, holler, all what I love all that. But that's not necessarily the power of God. That is a reaction to the power of God, but it's not the power of God. It's not the falling out that's going to get you. It's not going to get you through tomorrow. It is the power of God, all right? So you got to recognize, and we do all that. As long as I'm the pastor, we're going to do all that because I like that and I enjoy that. However, the power of God is not just that. The power of God gives you the strength to make it from day to day. It will never lose its power. All right? Number four. And I'm done. Spending time with God teaches me to rest in God's will. In the first 8 verses of Psalms 37, the phrase, "do not fret," appears 3 times. The Hebrew word for fret means to burn. In other words, do not allow all these things in life to get you hot and bothered. Do not fret. If you want to lower your stress level, spend time with Him. If you want to lower your blood pressure, spend time with Him. Boy, and I think you got to get this next one. I probably could have said this next phrase and saved the 40 minutes or 30 minutes I've been preaching, whatever. Give me my next phrase. Prayer is the place where burdens change shoulders. You ever seen somebody struggling to carry something and you walk up and you take it from them? And the relief comes. Oh. That's what your prayer closet does. That's one of the most powerful benefits of prayer, is that prayer teaches us to replace worry in what we cannot handle with the one who can handle anything that you're worried about. We fret and we worry and are hot and bothered because we don't spend time with Him. We are all busy, yet nothing can take the priority of our relationship with Him. Our desire is to be with him. Must be supremacy over every other desire. And when we make excuses for not communing with him, we have lost our delight. Listen to me, those of you who are dating. And hopefully, if you're married, you're still dating. But especially when you're dating, if you find yourself that they're making an excuse all the time why they can't see you, there's a problem. Now, I'm not talking about one or two times. Some of y'all are going to be like, well, they told me we've been together for 30 days and I've seen him every day but 30 days, and now for the 31st day he says he can't see me. That's something's wrong. No, come on. But when you start making excuses why you don't want to spend time with someone, there's an issue. And when we start making excuses, that can even be with church. I know a guy who doesn't go to church, doesn't know the Lord anymore. He's just walked away from God. Let me tell you how it started. The Lord blessed him and helped him get a house. He got the house. And then here's what he began to say after several years. He said, well, Pastor, my only day off is Sunday. And the Lord gave me this house, and the Lord expects me to do maintenance on this house and to keep the yard. And it's the only day that I can do it, and so I need to do that instead of be at church. Now he's lost. He had 3 children. All of them are out of church. See, you see the domino effect? Anytime. Well, I should have put that on YouVersion. I'll put it on there, that last statement. When we make excuses for not communing with him, we've lost our delight in him. One guy, I don't know who this guy is, but I read his quote. His name is Corey Ten Boom. Anybody know that guy? You know him? I don't know. He's an author, but I didn't read any of his stuff. That's why I don't know him. Because it's a she. Man, I feel really dumb right now because like a bunch of people are like, yeah, I know exactly who she is. But then again, I don't remember the names of authors or band names. Who sings that? No idea. Who wrote that? I have no idea. But here's what Corey Ten Boom wrote. Said, when Christians have meetings, the devil smiles. When Christians make great plans, the devil laughs. But when Christians pray, the devil trembles. Would you stand to your feet? I know I've went a little long. It's 8:30, 8:40 now. And I try to get you out by 8:30. But can we take, it's 8:40. Can you give me 5 minutes? When you leave, hey, El Shaddai has oranges and apples over at El Shaddai. But can we just take 5 minutes and delight in the Lord for just a moment? Would you just, however it is you worship, close your eyes, raise your hand, however comfortable you stand, sit, kneel, lay down, I don't care. But let's just take a moment. Lord, we give you thanks and we give you praise. Thank you, Lord, for who you are to me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.